Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just how powerful do you feel today? When I get up in the morning and I try to get all the kinks out, I don't feel very powerful. When I turn on the news and I see ISIS spreading their terror, I don't feel very powerful. When I see snow falling from the sky in copious amounts, I don't feel very powerful. There's so many things that go on in our lives that make us feel really puny. How powerful do you feel today? Do you feel like you're in charge and in control and that you can grab a hold of life and live it to its fullest? Very hard to feel powerful. So I read this passage today in Ephesians and I find it quite ironic because the man who writes it was less powerful than I am today. I at least can go out of my house and take a walk. I can determine what I'm going to eat for the day. I can determine my schedule. The man who wrote this couldn't because he was in prison. He was shackled, and yet he's talking about power. You know the story of Paul? He talks about the power of God. He talks about transcendency. And it's something that it's hard for us to get our minds around. How can you be powerful when you're in prison? How can you be powerful when the powers that be dictate every part of your life? And yet he talks about power. Now he gives us the secret. First he says that as we come to know God, that he enlightens our hearts. Now that's not talking about our minds alone. Enlightening our hearts means our whole being becomes enlightened. And our whole being finds a revelation that's very different from this life. And he says that power belongs to God and that God has resurrection power. Now, how on earth can we believe that? We who live our puny existence. Well, I'll give you an example. When the Cultural Revolution happened in China, one of Mao Zedong's goal was to eliminate the Christian faith in his country. And his wife, Zhang Qing, who was part of the notorious Gang of Four, she said that she did Mao's bidding, and she proclaimed this: Christianity in China has been confined to the history section of the museum. It is dead and buried. She had good reason to say that. They had shuttered all the churches. They had burned every Bible that they could find. They made Christianity illegal, and they imprisoned any person who was in leadership. They silenced Christianity, or so they thought. And I was looking up the People's Republic of China today, and they say that the number of Christians is outpacing the number of communists. Why is that? Mao Zedong had his day. His wife had her day. The powers that be had their day, but God still reigns. And God is not confined to human systems. And the problem sometimes with us as Christians is that we just look at the human systems and not look at God. God reigns in earth. And even in prison, we can find God's power. We can find his agenda. Think about the prisons that we find ourselves in. Some are imprisoned in their own bodies. Some are imprisoned by society. When Paul was imprisoned, he didn't say, "This rotten government did this to me." He said, "I'm a prisoner for Jesus." And when you think of the value and the permanency of that imprisonment, most of the words in the New Testament came out of his imprisonment. 2,000 years after his imprisonment, we still have his words ringing out of hope. I think of Nelson Mandela in his prison. They tried to stop his voice. Very little got out about how Mandela was faring. And he said, it was not just prison. It was teaching him how to be a statesman. If he hadn't been in prison, he would have been a popular lawyer and a great figure, but he wouldn't have led his people to liberation. It was in prison that he learned all the disciplines of statesmanship. We try to ask God to deliver us from our prisons, but perhaps that's the wrong prayer. Perhaps the prayer needs to be, God, show me yourself and your power, and help me to be your person in this prison that I find myself. Somebody had once said, whatever Jesus would do, the church must do. Well, what did Jesus do? When he was imprisoned on the cross, when he was imprisoned between two beams of wood, what did he do? He took care of his mother. He said to John, his disciples, take my mother home. He forgave his murderers, and he gave somebody without hope, in darkness, dying, the thief on the other side of him, he gave him hope for resurrection life, even as he was in prison between those beams of wood. What can we do in our prisons? I love it when we're delivered. I love to get up here and talk about answered prayer. But there's one thing I do know, that even when prayer isn't answered, and even when we are imprisoned in life circumstances, we serve a resurrection God. And I hope that today we start practicing the resurrection. We start looking at the power we have, even in our circumstances, because we serve a God who is not confined to the systems of this world. How will you practice resurrection this week? How will you bring hope within your prison cell to somebody else? This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be about. As Paul the Apostle said in one other letter, when I am weak, then I am strong. Let us pray. O soul, are you weary and hopeless? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, for those in prison cells this morning, for those who have looked around and only see the darkness, I ask that the light of your glory and the light of your grace and the light of resurrection would be within them this day, so that we can go out and be lights to others in this dark world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.